I was watching last week a documentary on Annapurna. Annapurna is a mountain in Nepal, and it is the most dangerous mountain that you can climb in the world. And I was listening to these mountain climbers talk about it, and they're talking about how beautiful it is, how awe-inspiring it is. And certainly, when you look at the pictures, it is beautiful, it is awe-inspiring. Beautiful cliffs and spectacular vistas, and it's so huge. I'm guessing that's why they wanted to climb it, because it really is beautiful. But it is also terrifying. Annapurna has a 30% fatality rate. So one in three climbers that climb it never make it back alive. There are hurricanes up there, avalanches, extremely low oxygen. It's awe-inspiring, yes, but it is terrifying. And I think that is what God and His holiness is like. Our God is holy, which means He's awe-inspiring. He's majestic and incredible. But He is also terrifying in His holiness. And that's what we're going to look at here in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah has an encounter with God and experiences how beautiful and awe-inspiring He is and how terrifying He is. What we see in this passage is when you encounter God, three things happen. Three things happen when you encounter God. The first one is this: when you encounter God, you are amazed. You're amazed because He is awe-inspiring. He's awe-inspiring. Look at chapter 6 again, Isaiah 6, verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each covered with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying." Just imagine you're Isaiah and you're having that vision. And there's God, high and exalted. He's not some kind of small God. He's not like you. We often like to imagine God being like us and agreeing with the things we agree with and favoring the things we favor. He's not like that. He is totally different. He's high and exalted. He's seated on a throne. He's a king. And it says, the hem of His robe filled the temple. So just the end of His robe was so big, it filled the whole temple. If that's how big the end of His robe is, imagine how big He is. I mean, this is an incredible vision. And above God are the seraphim. They're heavenly beings or angels. And they're there, they've got six wings, and with two of them, these angels, they're covering their eyes. With two of them, they're covering their feet, probably because feet were dirty parts of your body in that culture, and it was shameful. And so covering their eyes, covering their feet, it was a symbol of reverence. They're almost too afraid to look at God. Now, just think about that. In the New Testament, when humans meet an angel, they're terrified. And here we have angels in front of God, and they are terrified, too afraid to even look with their eyes. And they're crying out. Verse 3, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." What does that word holy mean? It means set apart. Yet God is so incredible and awe-inspiring. He's not like you and me. He's in a different category. He's so majestic, so glorious, so breathtaking, so powerful, so special. set apart from us. And he's set apart because he's pure. God has never sinned. He's perfect. And everywhere we look, every person we look at on this world, and even just things we look at, everything is tainted by sin. We can't get our heads around something that is totally pure. And that's God. Holy. And notice, he's not holy. He's not holy, holy. He's holy, holy, holy. Three times. Why? Why waste space? Why waste words? Well, in the Hebrew language, you wanted something to stand out, you put the word three times. It's kind of like if we want to put something in bold today. We put something in bold. It's standing out. This is the Hebrew version of bold. Holy, holy, holy. You know, there's no other attribute of God that is described three times. When you read the Bible, it says God is loving, but it never says he is loving, loving, loving. When you read the Bible, it says God is strong. It never says he's strong, strong, strong. There's only one attribute. Holy, holy, holy. Because that is the core of who he is. He is so different, so pure, so perfect. If you want to put it in a maths equation, perfection times perfection times perfection. That is what this is trying to communicate. He's so amazing that it says the whole earth is full of his glory. It's like the sun. The sun impacts all of our world. Even when it's overcast, we don't see the sun, we still feel its effects on our lives. And same with the holiness of God. He is so incredible that his glory fills everything. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I put to you that everything you look at in our world, the complexities of our world, the beauty, the wonder, it all is pointing to a glorious God behind it all. Now just think of this vision. And I want to ask you, when you pray, is this the picture of God that you have in your mind? When you sing, is this the picture of the God that you're worshiping? When you read the Bible, is this the picture of the God that is speaking to you? It's so easy to get comfortable with God and to forget how incredible he truly is. Because here's the thing. You can understand who God is intellectually. You might know intellectually that he's holy, but it's another thing to have it grip your heart and become a reality to you. Holy, holy, holy. The second thing when you encounter God, second thing that happens is you're humbled. You're humbled. Look at verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When you see something amazing, when you see something awesome, what's the first thing you do? You take out your phones. That's what you do. You see a beautiful sunset, beautiful landmark. The first thing you're doing is Instagramming it. And you're uploading it so other people can see, wow, how cool is this? How amazing. Isaiah is not doing that at all. He's not standing there going, whoa, how cool is this? He's saying, woe is me. I'm ruined. Or in the older translations, woe is me, I am undone. I'm a mess. Or maybe you might say, woe is me, I'm screwed. I'm screwed, I'm up the creek. That's his reaction. He's looking at this beautiful vision and he's going, I'm a mess. Why? Because he says he's unclean. He refers to unclean lips. We don't really know what that means. Maybe he is a prophet. We know he's a prophet. Maybe that's the reference that he as a prophet, he speaks, uses his lips, and he's unclean. It might be how Jesus says that what you say with your mouth reflects your heart. So if your lips are unclean, so is your heart. We don't really know. But it's clear he is saying, I'm unclean. And this is a problem. And he says, I'm unclean, and I've just seen the King. See, there's some things in life that can't coexist. Fire and water cannot coexist. You put fire in a bucket of water, it's going to go out. It cannot coexist. And so it is with the holy, holy, holy God. He is perfect. He is pure. And sinful people like Isaiah cannot be in his presence without being destroyed. After all, what is sin? It's rebellion against God. It's insulting God. It's rejecting God's holiness. How can a perfect God be in the presence of sin? And you and I, we have the same problem as Isaiah. You and I, we have both sinned against God. We are not perfect. And so just like Isaiah, we got to say, woe is me. Okay, you might be thinking, well, I'm not that bad. This is an exaggeration. There's plenty of people that are worse than me. On the whole, I'm a good person. And often we like to downplay our sin and say, oh, it's not that bad. But you know, Isaiah, he was one of the most upstanding men of society at the time. This is what one writer says, R.C. Sproul. He says this about Isaiah. If ever there was a man of integrity, it was Isaiah. He was considered by his contemporaries as the most righteous man in the nation. Then he caught one sudden glimpse of a holy God. In that single moment, all of his self-esteem was shattered. In a brief second, he was exposed, made naked beneath the gaze of the absolute standard of holiness. As long as Isaiah could compare himself to other mortals, he was able to sustain a lofty opinion of his own character. The instant he measured himself by the ultimate standard, he was destroyed, morally and spiritually annihilated. He was undone. He came apart. That's Isaiah. And it's you. You might compare yourself against other humans and think, I'm doing okay. Compare yourself against the perfection of God. You are ruined. Here's the way to know whether you truly understand who God is. It's if you've had an Isaiah moment. The way to know whether you truly understand who God is if you've had a moment where you have fallen at your knees before God and said, woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm a sinner. Because if you're walking around thinking, oh, I'm pretty good on the whole and surely God's going to accept me and send me to heaven, then you have not understand who God is. Becoming a Christian begins with humbly recognizing your uncleanness and repenting. And day by day as a Christian, it's the same thing. Seeing who God is and recognizing our sin. So if you've never had an Isaiah moment, if you've never said to God, God, I'm a sinner and you're holy. I need your help. If you've never had a moment like that, can I encourage you to do it? To take our sins seriously. But that's not where it ends. You may fall on your knees and say, woe is me, but that's not where it ends. Because look what happens next. One of the seraphim flies to pick up a live coal from an altar. It was probably one of the altars in the temple where sacrifices were made for sins. And so the angel picks up this coal and he flies to Isaiah and he puts it on his lips. And what does he say? Verse 7, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. It's a beautiful sentence. Your guilt, Isaiah. Remember how guilty you were feeling just a few moments ago? Gone. Your sin, all of your uncleanness, all the things you've done wrong, it's atoned for. The price has been paid. That's what atone means. It's been dealt with. The penalty has been paid. A sacrifice has been made. Notice God doesn't say, all right, Isaiah, you've said, woe is me. Here's what I want you to do. Go on out there and just clean up your act. All those parts of you that you don't like, just, you know, improve yourself. Try your best. Obey the Bible. Come back and let's try again in a few months' time. No. All Isaiah has to do is repent and God does the rest in his grace. And friends, it's the exact same when it comes to us. God doesn't send us off to clean up our act. He makes the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus dies on that cross so that your guilt is taken away. He dies so that your sin is paid for. Dying the death you deserve to die. Paying the price so you can be free. And all you need to do is say, woe is me. Please forgive me, God. I need your grace. I need Jesus. Without Jesus, you're left just saying, woe is me. But with Jesus, you can walk out knowing the forgiveness of God. And knowing that as a Christian, like God, you have been made holy. God is holy and you are holy. You're forgiven. And day by day, as we're going to see throughout this year of holiness, we grow in holiness, but we already are holy because God has forgiven us through Christ and made us clean. Hallelujah. Well, when you encounter God, you're amazed, you're humbled. Number three, lastly, when you encounter God, you're sent. You're sent. Have a look at the next verse, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You see the Trinitarian language there? Who will go for us, God says. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And God wants to send a messenger. He wants other people to know his love. He wants other people to have their guilt taken away and their sin atoned for. Our God is a missionary God. And he loves to send people out to proclaim who he is and to proclaim his love. Jesus did that. He sent out his disciples. He sent out you and me to share the gospel. And so he's there, he's looking for a messenger. And Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. I think we like to imagine it as a passionate, here am I, send me. Probably was meek. Remember, he's been humbled. God, am I going to be okay? Would you consider me? Here, I'm here. See, when you meet God in his holiness, it makes you passionate for evangelism. It makes you passionate to share the love of God with others. When you've had your own sins forgiven, your own guilt taken away, it's only natural that then you want your friends and your family and your loved ones to know that same grace and kindness. That's Isaiah. Here I am. Send me. And is that you? Imagine God saying, whom shall I send to Macquarie Uni and RMC and the thousands of students that don't know me? Who am I going to send? Or God saying, who am I going to send to all the workplaces around the CBD and Macquarie? Who shall I send? Who shall I send to the high-rises all around Macquarie Park that keep getting built? Who shall I send to your neighbor that is living for all kinds of other things and doesn't know God? Here I am, God. Send me. Last year we looked at Moses. You remember Moses? He sees the holy God in the burning bush, and God sends him on a mission to share a message. And Moses says, God, please send someone else. That's Moses' reaction. Please send someone else. Let's not be like Moses. Let's be like Isaiah. God, here I am. Whatever it takes, send me. I want to be used by you. Send me to be a missionary overseas. Send me to serve in kids' church. It's out of my comfort zone. Send me to my friends and family. Give me boldness and courage. Here I am. Send me. Take my life. It's been almost 4 years since we planted the Bridge Church, Macquarie Park. A group of about 30 people who stuck up their hand and said, I'm willing to be sent. I'm willing to be used by God. And as a church, we must never lose that drive. Like, we're not here just to be comfortable. We are here because we're sent. We're here because we've got a message to proclaim, the grace of God. We're here. We're here on mission. Here I am, send me. Well, most preachers stop there and they don't deal with the tricky stuff, verse 9 to 13, and I'm not going to either. But it's because of time, I promise. It was in my original, but just for the sake of time, let me just briefly. God says to Isaiah, yeah, I'm going to send you with a message. But it's not all going to be easy. Some people aren't going to believe you. Some people's hearts are so hard that when they hear the message, they're going to be confirmed in their unbelief. They're going to reject it and say, nope, don't want anything to do with that God. And it will confirm their hard hearts. Jesus quotes this passage himself when he talks about his work in the Gospels. He says, he quotes this passage and says, look, some people believe it. Many people, they hear it and it just makes their heart harder. It's not going to be easy all the time. Ministry is not always easy. People don't respond in the ways that we hope. But there's still hope because the end of verse 13 talks about the holy seed, a remnant in Israel who will believe and who will flourish and who will bear fruit. There is still hope. So trust him and proclaim. Friends, most of us won't have a vision of God like Isaiah. But every time we open the Bible, we see the holiness of God. And when you encounter God's holiness, you are firstly amazed. He is holy, holy, holy. He's the God we worship. But secondly, you're humbled. The only response is, woe is me. I'm unclean. I need forgiveness. And praise God for Jesus and his grace. Our guilt is taken away. And thirdly, you're sent. Sent to share who he is and what he's done with a world that desperately needs to hear it. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before your throne and cry out with the angels, holy, holy, holy. You are perfect, glorious, and we are sinners. And if it were not for your grace, we would be ruined. But thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death in our place. Thank you for your love. Send us out to be messengers of your grace. Send us out with the hope of Jesus. Here we are. Here we are as a church. Send us, we pray. Amen.